So growing up, I, and I'm sure most of you, if not all of us, recall having attendance taken, especially in school settings. The teacher, at least at the beginning of the school year, would read off a list, and if it was the beginning of the year, new students would often probably mispronounce a few names, and they would ask you to announce your presence. Some with, I think the typical response was here. Others would get change it up a little bit and say present, and I recall at least, and I always thought it was them trying to make maybe be a little fancy, instead of present, it was present. And I looked it up and just thinking, sure, there's other ways, and I try to recall other ways people would do so, and if you Google anything now, you know you get the Google AI response at the beginning, and Google AI at least seems to think, and the teachers in our congregation, you can tell me if you've heard this before, but seem to think students respond with here, but mentally in bed, and or reporting for duty. The first one I see some truth in. I don't know many students who do say I'm reporting for duty, at least Monday at the first class of the day. When schools went digital, and still are, at least for some, like me, who's an HSC student doing it online, you just logging into Zoom announced your presence. I was just thinking about at Harding, you go to chapel, or at least you did go to chapel every day, and they would take attendance for chapel. And you got so many skips from that, just as you got skips from class that they were allowed to do for whatever reason. I think they always hoped it was because you weren't feeling well, but sometimes a student just wanted to sleep in. And they would take attendance, not by going through all the thousands of kids, since they're teenagers, college students that were in the auditorium, but they had a camera that would just scan the seats to make sure a body was in the seat that somebody had signed up for. So Harding students would get to the end of the year, if they had extra skips, they would offer for a price to use one of their skips to sit in a seat for somebody so they could get an extra skip. So, right or wrong, it was a way students at Harding made a little bit of extra cash. And then thinking about one of the rules of Harding was they wanted you to be in class. They weren't a college campus that was okay with you skipping class. And I know it was always one of those rules that people who weren't the fondest of Harding thought, oh, they're too strict. I want to go to college and spend all this money and skip class. Harding wasn't like that. They made you show up. And to some there were some extremes. I remember during club week, the pledge week at Harding, that I was just exhausted then. It was the middle of, you were busy all day during class, and then you'd go off at 5 o'clock from then on till curfew doing stuff as you're joining your club at Harding, their version of fraternities and sororities. And I was just exhausted, and I was going to a class that I just did not like the teacher much. He was, in my mind, he didn't keep me engaged, and I thought, I'm going to skip class. I've got an extra skip. And one of the people in my club said, no, you need to show up. And so I'm glad I did, because that would have been my third skip, and that teacher's rule would be if you skipped more than two times, you were dropped from the class. So attendance is taken a lot. Reagan already mentioned we take attendance. We ask that you scan the QR codes in front of you, or that you fill out an actual attendance card, one to know who was here. We're not just have a number of attendance and to something to put at the back of the bulletin, but we want to know exactly who's with us. But it's also helpful to know who wasn't able to be with us, so we can check in and reach out. We take attendance all the time, whether it be for school, work, when you're clocking in or clocking out, for statistics, to keep up with people. We declare that we are in a place, that we are present, and that we are ready. Scripture has multiple examples when people, too, announce their presence, declare that they are in a given place. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 2 says, "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.'" God calls out to Abraham in preparation for the testing that we know is to come, to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham announces, "I am here. Here I am." Genesis 31 tells us of God speaking to Jacob. It says, "Then the angel," this is verse 11 through 13, "Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, 'Jacob,' and I said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Lift up your eyes and see all the goats that mate with the flocks that are striped, spotted, and mottled. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise, go out from this land and return to the land of your kindred. Again, God calls out this time to Jacob, and Jacob declares, here I am. Exodus 3 tells us of God's calling of Moses. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Moses, again, too, when he was called by God, declares his presence. 1 Samuel 3 tells us the story of God calling Samuel and calling out to Samuel. Then the Lord called Samuel and said, here I am, and ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. So this is back and forth a little bit. Samuel thinks it's Eli, his mentor, the one training him, is calling out to him in his sleep. He said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling out, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. So again, he announces, here I am, and then when he finally registers who's actually calling him, a version of here I am. Lord, here I am, speak, let me hear what you have to say. And then in Acts 9, we see the Lord call out to Ananias immediately after Saul's encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. God still calling out to his people, and we see another of his people responding with, here I am, Lord. Abraham's situation, his setting of his calling, finds him as God's about to ask him to do what for all of us would be the unthinkable, the thing that we could not do, to go sacrifice the son that they had waited years and years for, that they'd prayed for and waited patiently for, to go and sacrifice Isaac. And he was fully prepared to obey, fully prepared to go and do what the Lord said. He even left, the story goes on to say, they left with the supplies for a sacrifice, did go up on the mountain, did lay Isaac on the altar. He obeyed. He said, here I am, and he went. Jacob obeyed God and began the return trip to the land of his family after spending years away. Moses, after a little bit of back and forth, some questioning, some doubt on his ability or his qualifications, does go on to return to Egypt to declare that God, who God is, that God is the Father, the God of the Israelites, and lead God's people out of captivity in Egypt. Samuel receives the plans of God, the plans of judgment against Eli and Eli's house, and goes on to share and confirm some troubling news because he was ready to obey. And Ananias, following again Paul's encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, does get up from where he's at, approached with this mighty task to go and minister to the persecutor of the church, and goes and works with him, goes and meets him where he's at, as God called him to do. All of these men were approached by God with a task. approached with work to do, pretty difficult work too, pretty trying and tasking work. They came to that moment and were able to say, "Here I am, Lord." And I don't think that's a response that they just stumbled upon. I don't think their declaration of presence is the same as any of us as students now or when we were students. It's just simply saying, "Here, that I'm in my seat in class." I don't think, again, that they just happen to be in this state of mind, in this posture. I think this is a posture of readiness and willingness to serve that had been cultivated and developed from a life of commitment, a life of being in relationship with God, and in Ananias' case, a life living as a disciple of Christ, letting their relationship with God not just be something they claim by word alone, but is evident by the actions they take, the willingness to be servants of their God, that they are ready and willing when God calls out to them to say, "Here I am, Lord." So my question, or at least one of my questions is, are we ready to say, "Here I am"? Have we cultivated that posture in our own lives? Are we able, when God does call us to work, does call us to serve, does call us to serve in a ministry of our own, whether that be in a church setting, in our own individual work fields, are we ready to say, "Here I am, Lord," and be ready to act upon what God asks of us to do? Or are we simply just physically present? Are we here physically? Are we in a relationship with God by word alone and every other aspect elsewhere? Our minds focused on something else, thinking on other things, worrying about our own will and not God's. I said at the beginning that Google AI says that some students say "here" but mentally still in bed. And again, I don't know if a student has ever actually said that, but there is some truth in that. I'm sure just about every student that is in here this time of worship with us, no matter how old you are, when you've had attendance called and you said "here," you might have been physically in a seat at a desk, but you were not in a posture ready to learn. I'm sure all of us, as when we were students, experienced that as well, that we were there physically but not ready to learn. Or how many of us have shown up to work, clocked in, shown up to the job, and again, been there physically, but mentally, emotionally, any other way, not been actually present at work? And I think the same, again, can be asked about our relationship with God. That by word, we say we're in relationship, but are we elsewhere in every other way that counts? Sure, we show up, we sing the songs, we attend the classes, we answer the questions, but are we allowing that relationship to change the way we live? Are we allowing God to cultivate us within us an identity of servant, of servitude, being willing to be servants to the Lord? Are we in relationship with God by word alone? Or again, have we cultivated that life built around the confession and belief that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and that includes an identity of service, that no matter where we are, where we're going, who we're with, that we are ready to act and do the will of our Lord, our Creator, our King, our Savior, when called upon? The five men in their stories we just read, I think, paint the picture of five men who served when called upon. But they're not the only five that have ever been called upon by the Lord. In fact, we know we've all been called. Are we ready to say, "Here I am"? Maybe before, or as you think on that answer, maybe before you answer that question to yourself, I want to just include one more example of a man declaring that, "Here I am," as the Lord calls out. I think, to me, this is the most well-known. This is the one that I always think of when I think of this kind of topic. I go to Isaiah 6. But this one differs between the other ones because of the context and the exact wording used. "In that year, the king Uzziah died. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple above him. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me! for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am. Send me. And he said, Go and say to this people. And then God continues on to give the command, the instruction for Isaiah. Again, all of these passages, they depict stories of people being spoken to by God and a response of here I am following and obedience following that declaration of presence. That they declare they are in the presence of God, in the space of God, and willing and ready to do what he's going to ask of them. And without a doubt in my mind, the same response, that is the same response that we should all be ready and willing to give. But in this specific example, in this specific story of Isaiah, the context, again, is a little different. God doesn't speak directly to Isaiah with the call. He's just an open-ended question, because God does want willing servants, people who willingly surrender to his will. And so he asks out loud, Who will go and do my work? Who will go for us? And so Isaiah differs then in the story between the stories of Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Samuel, and Ananias, because Isaiah comes to God and says, Here I am. Again, I don't think Abraham and Jacob or Moses, Samuel, and Ananias wouldn't have done that same thing, but the context is different, and I think there's an important aspect to that. That God asks who will go, and he goes, Isaiah steps out and says, Here I am. But it's also, I think, an important aspect to his response is, Send me. Here I am, Lord. Send me to do what you need done. There's no aspect of questioning, no pushback on what the job is going to be. He just says, Here I am. Send me to do what you need done. God, you need somebody here. I am ready to be sent by you to work, to see your will done on earth. Are we in this posture as well? Not only are we in a posture of readiness to serve when God calls upon us, but are we in a posture that we come to God and say, Here I am, Lord, send me to do your work. Not only just waiting to be called, but going to God and saying, I'm your servant. I surrender to your will. Use me. Let me be your hands and feet in this world. Again, this isn't something we just stumble upon. This isn't a posture we just happen into. It takes surrendering. It takes work, it takes cultivation and practice. And I get it, it's easier not to put in that work. It's easy to not be in that posture. It's easy, say on a Saturday, to spend your time watching the World Cup like I did yesterday. It's easy to sit at home in our pajamas and do nothing. It's easy to drive by the person with a sign. It's easy to ignore the person asking for help. It's easier to not get involved when we're already busy enough. I know it's easy because I've made those excuses, but I'm confident in knowing I'm not the only one that's made those excuses. Or I think it's easy to get into this mindset, and I think Isaiah's story kind of gives us a little bit, and we see it in Moses as well, but in this context or this mindset of, I know there's a need that needs to be met, but somebody else is meeting that need. I'd push back on that and say, what if we all had that same answer? Or it's easy to get into a mindset of think that we're not good enough. I think we see that at the beginning of Isaiah. He says, Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I think he was in a context of saying, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be in your presence, worthy to see this, maybe even not worthy enough to do your will. Or I'm not qualified enough. But I'm a firm believer in that God, and I think Scripture is clear about this, that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. I think Moses is an example of that. And lastly, I think it's easy to get into a mindset of, there's nothing that I want to do. But again, it's not about what we want. Scripture is clear, we have been called to do the will of the Lord, not our own. The reality is that each and every one of us has been called, been commissioned by God, Matthew 28, we see the Great Commission, a passage many of us are familiar with, where Jesus says and gives the commission to go into the world and make believers of all nations. But elsewhere in the New Testament, we have verses like Ephesians 2:10 that says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We've been made to do good works in this world. Paul also says in Galatians 5:13, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And also 1 Peter 4:10, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." I think again, Scripture's clear. We've been called. We've been sent. We've been commissioned. We've been given gifts and talents to use for the Lord. This is not one of those messages that we can try to get away from and say, that doesn't apply to me, because Scripture is clear. This does apply to all of us. That we have been called to be God's servants, his hands and feet in our communities, in the many different cities and counties this congregation makes up here in Georgia, to be his servants in this country and in this world. So are we ready and willing to serve when he calls upon us? When he presents an opportunity before us, are we willing and ready to take a hold of that opportunity and serve the Lord? Are we ready to just make excuses? Are we presenting ourselves to God, following in Isaiah's lead and saying, "God, here I am. Yes, I am broken. Yes, I'm a sinner. I may not be the best. I may not be the most qualified or the most talented. It may not be my area of expertise, but Lord, send me anyways to do your will, to share your message, to share your gospel, to do good works in your name, to give you glory by the actions I take." Or are we going to be in a posture of idleness, of remaining comfortable or waiting until we feel like it? I think, again, not one of us can question that a life in Christ, a life as a disciple, is marked by service, with an identity of service. So if you're not serving yet, I challenge you, get involved. Join a ministry that is already ongoing here. Plan an outreach event that reaches the community. Start another ministry that you see as a need that needs to be met here in Hiram or in the surrounding communities. Help teach a class. Find a space for you to get involved. If you're already involved, I would challenge you to do more. Continue to serve and serve in other ways. If there's a need, be the one to meet that need. There is no reason that each and every one of us can't be a "here I am" kind of person, ready to serve when God directly calls and presents, and ready to serve when he calls, and also ready to present ourselves to him and say, "Here I am, send me."